You're listening to The Meadows Podcast on the Porch with Bob Arnold and friends. Our current series is called The Great Sadness, where we hear people's stories about loss, pain, and suffering, and how God works through such tragedies. We're currently offering a four-week workshop series called The Spiritual Development Forum, an opportunity for you to deepen your divine intimacy, taking place at Grace Fellowship Church in Timonium, Maryland, on Wednesday evenings. To sign up for upcoming events and learn more about The Meadow, go to www.meadow4.org.
Well, we're back on the porch, and as you know, we've been talking about the great sadness. And today we have a very good friend and a lady that's going to tell us a little bit about one of the great sadness in her life, and that's Sister Robin. And Sister Robin, for me, and I think for people, a number of people in The Meadow, have been very, very helpful and help steering us into what it means to have a deeper relationship with Christ. And so, Sister Robin, it's great to have you here today on the porch. And, you know, a lot of the great conversations in life occur on the porch. So Sister Robin's going to really talk about how, in the midst of the great sadness, just a great presence of God and the great joy of God can come to us in the midst of sadness. So, Sister Robin, won't you tell us your story? And again, we're glad you're here.
Thank you, Bob. When I was about 45, I learned that my 43-year-old brother had cancer. And we were miles apart. He was out in New Mexico, and I, of course, was in Baltimore. And I asked him if he wanted me to come, and he said, no, not yet. So several months later, his wife called me and said, I think you should come. It was close to Thanksgiving, and my mother had been killed over Thanksgiving weekend, and I'd also had a young nephew, 10 years old, who had died over Thanksgiving weekend. And I went out to New Mexico to be with my brother, and I spent the last 2 weeks of his life with him. The grace of it started out as he had been estranged from the family for a couple of years. Nobody knew where he was. And I had never met his present wife, and I sort of felt awkward at the beginning. I'd never been out to his home in New Mexico. And we began by sort of reacquainting ourselves. I found a very leathered, old-looking body. My brother was 2 years younger than I. A very old leather, just, he looked terrible. He looked like somebody from Auschwitz. I don't know how else to put it. And I began sitting with him, and we talked about old times. And every time I sat with him, I took the A&D lotion and went over his body. Mm-hmm. And that began a wonderful closeness. Each time we sat together, we'd talk or we'd be quiet. And then he'd reach out and take my hand and we'd pray the Lord's Prayer together. And he said to me, you know, in the nights when I can't sleep, I began to think about God. And I think I found God again. And I told him, God's always been with you. God never leaves you alone. You're just finding somebody who has always been there for you. I spent the nights with him. His wife was afraid to stay in the bed with him, so she slept out in the living room, and I slept in bed with my brother. Mm. And as time went on, he got weaker and weaker. And Thanksgiving Day came and went. One of his dear friends from New York flew out to be with him and spent the whole night. They stayed the whole night talking together. And I think he thought he was going to die that next day. Everything seemed fine. He was very peaceful and blowing kisses at everybody. And I thought, well, this is it. But it wasn't. And that night was terrible. He struggled and struggled, and I felt so helpless. I have seldom felt so helpless in my whole life. He sat up, and he struggled to stand up, and he couldn't. And he struggled to hold himself together, and he couldn't. And I just held him and sat on the bed with him, held his hands, and felt utterly helpless. And that passed somehow. And when the hospice people came, I talked with them about it. And they said that often when somebody thinks death is coming and they're all ready for it and it doesn't, they get very angry and very upset. And that was apparently what had happened to my brother. And then Saturday came and he seemed okay. He was still conscious. We prayed together. And then around 1 o'clock, Carrie, his wife, came in and said to me, "I think you better go and get some sleep." So I did. And around 4 o'clock, she came in and woke me and she said, "His breathing has changed. I think you better come." And so I came and I sat on the bed beside him. And he wasn't saying much, but he was still conscious. And so we prayed the Lord's Prayer together. And sensing that the end was very near, and I don't know why I sensed, or why I felt that way, there didn't seem to be a change in him. I started singing to him, and I started praying myself. And I said to him, "It's okay, Vari. Mom's waiting, Dad's waiting, Corey's waiting. God's waiting. You're going to light, to life, to love. And they're all waiting for you." And I could sense his breathing slowing down. And I could feel something inside myself that was sort of like, I'm not afraid, but what's happening? I've never been here before at the actual moment. And the veil seemed so thin. It was like Mom and Daddy and Corey and God were all waiting for him to come through the veil. And then he was holding my hand and he took my hand and put it over his heart and breathed his last. And I was so much at peace, and I knew he was at peace, and I knew that part of me had gone with him into the kingdom of God, and part of him was staying with me. And I knew that there would never be a moment that we would be separated again, that the years when he couldn't be found, the years that I didn't know where he was, the years that we weren't in contact, it was all past. It was all in the present now. That in God, we were one. And I sat there in awe for several minutes. I knew I should call his wife, but somehow that sacredness was there and I didn't want to break it. And I just waited with him and with God, knowing a deep, deep peace that his journey was over, but his journey was beginning. And then I called his wife, and she sat with him and cried with him. And we were so blessed because he was home the whole time. His kids came in. And when the funeral director finally came to take him, the kids lined up out in the hall and every candle in the house was lit. They somehow, and I don't know how they knew, But they lit the candles because the light had come. And a couple days later, we buried him out on the wide open hillside at sunset. The sun was setting, and in spite of our pain and in spite of our sorrow, there was a deep, deep peace. And I've somehow walked with that peace and with that knowledge that he is with me and I am with him. And that's part of the mystery of the Christian life, is that it's one world. We're interconnected. We don't lose those we love, but we have them in a different way. You know, Fari is as close to me as my own heartbeat, and I believe that I'm as close to him as his own heartbeat.
Well, Sister Robin, I just really want to thank you for just giving us a very, very beautiful picture of how the presence of God can be with us in the midst of a very, very close death. And I think it just gives us just such a wonderful model and courage to know that in the midst of death, that we can be there and be very present. And even though it's a great sadness, the joy of someone entering into the kingdom of God and being able to be a part of that is just so amazing.
And you know, I think we've forgotten in our culture that death is part of life. And in the Catholic liturgy, we say death is not an ending, but a change. Life is not ended, but changed.
Yeah. You know, I was talking with a friend of mine, and he was sort of concerned about the people in his church. It seems like when anybody's going to die, the church is so afraid to admit that reality that they're going to die. And the prayer and everything is all about, let's try to bring about a healing, even when it's so, so clear. And he said to me, if any of us should have courage, if anybody should have courage in the midst of death, it's us that know and have confidence that death is something else beyond this life.
Absolutely.
And though it's sorrowful to lose people, we can also know the tremendous courage, yeah. Have tremendous courage.
And I think because we're skin creatures, we miss the presence, that presence that we've known. But we need to get used to the fact that there's another presence.
Right.
There's a spirit presence between people. And that doesn't change.
Right, right. And I think what you're saying about, you know, for some reason it's true and some reason it's also, you know, because of the moment, there is such a thin veil between heaven and earth at that point, at the point of death. And a lot of people that I've talked about that are in a crisis with someone close to them dying, I'm just saying, recognize and live in this moment as a holy moment. And it's so ironic that so many people say, you know, that we're so afraid of their relatives dying, saying this was one of the most holy and most important parts of my life, to be able to be present.
And I've come to understand that as people get closer to death, when they say mother's in the next room, or it's simply the veil getting so thin and they're getting so close.
Right.
And it is a holy moment.
Yeah.
It's a sacred moment. Heaven right. comes down to earth at that moment.
Right. And that's I read a book by some hospice nurses, and they were saying the same thing. They said, after 15 years, we're very convinced that the things that occur at the time of death, which they say is a lot of what you just said, where people are experiencing the presence of their relatives or their friends, that they've come to believe that that is real and as true as anything, that there is really that deep presence because they've seen it over and over again.
I heard a beautiful story. One of the priests that works up at Stella Maris, it was Easter morning, and this woman asked to be dressed. And the nurse thought, what's going on? And she dressed her. And a few minutes later, she walked by her room and heard her say, oh, George, I knew you'd come.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Very beautiful. So, well, I think You know, you've given us a wonderful picture of what death can be. And like you say, death is part of the reality that we live in. But there is something very, very powerful in the midst of death. You know, death is our enemy. Death is Christ's enemy. But Christ has given us victory over death, and we can walk courageously with people, and they can walk courageously into their next life. Thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you, Bob.